Good afternoon, 4:30 and 36 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
For every dollar we cut for higher education, approximately 70 cents has been charged in additional tuition.
That's a cause of concern for State Representative Arnold Simpson. He's afraid more cuts will deny low and middle income Kentucky students a chance for college education.
A Floyd County man dies in a two-vehicle crash.
And state police take down a cockfighting ring.
In sports, Peyton Manning's future is still undecided as he and his Broncos celebrate their Super Bowl win.
But Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy tonight with snow likely, lows in the 20s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A 19-year-old Prestonsburg man has been killed in a two-vehicle crash in Floyd County. According to WSAZ, the accident happened Sunday night on State Route 114 and claimed the life of Kevin Marcellette. Kentucky State Police say the victim was a passenger in a vehicle that crossed the center line and struck the second vehicle head-on. Troopers say Marcellette died after being airlifted to the hospital.
Kentucky State Police are searching for a suspect who robbed a convenience store in Bath County Sunday. According to Trooper Joe Veneman, authorities received a call regarding the incident at the Town and Country Food Mart in Sharpsburg at around 11:45 p.m.
Several troopers arrived along with Bath County Sheriff Tuffy Snediger, and basically through the course investigation, we were able to determine that it was one male who came into the store. He was armed with a firearm, and he demanded cigarettes and money, and the clerk complied to his orders. And shortly after getting the money and cigarettes from the clerk, the suspect fled on foot.
Witnesses have described the robber as a male wearing a skeleton mask, a gray hooded sweatshirt, and dark pants. Anyone with information relating to the incident is being asked to call the Kentucky State Police Post in Moorhead at 606-784-4127.
State police have broken up a cockfighting ring in western Kentucky. Trooper Michael Robichaud says a building in Callaway County was raided and 22 people are facing criminal charges.
When units responded out there, they made contact with the owner of the building and located inside the building through their investigation. 30 dead gamecocks. Also located on the scene was two trailers, or a trailer and a camper. Inside the trailer and the camper, they located over 35 live roosters and hens.
The live roosters and hens have been turned over to the Humane Society. Police say those arrested face a variety of charges, including cruelty to animals.
The president of Kentucky's largest historically black university says Governor Bevin's proposed budget cuts could close the school. Details from Will Clark.
In an interview with the State Journal in Frankfort, Kentucky State University President Raymond Burr says the 9% cuts called for in Governor Bevin's budget could force the school to declare financial exigency and or prepare for a closure plan. Burst told the paper he understands why Bevin is calling for cuts across many state agencies, but warns KSU does not have the resources available to meet the many current needs the school has moving forward. I'm Will Clark.
A Northern Kentucky Democrat says college students and their parents were asked to make some big sacrifices when the state legislature cut funding for higher education during the Great Recession. Now, says State Representative Arnold Simpson, Governor Bevin is asking them for even more concessions. The Republicans' two-year budget plan calls for reductions to universities and the technical college system of 9% in each of the next 2 years. Bevin has also ordered a 4.5% cut this year. Simpson says for every dollar the legislature slashed from higher ed, 70 cents was passed on to students. But now he claims there's a difference. He says a terrible economy was responsible for the previous reductions.
Those of us who have been here since the recession, we were forced to approve cuts after cuts after cuts.
Some House Democrats say Kentucky's revenues are growing and it's time to put money back into higher education. Governor Bevin thinks the state's troubled pension systems need to be fixed first.
The price of gas in Kentucky has fallen more than 30 cents over the past month. A website that monitors fuel costs daily in the Commonwealth says the average price for regular unleaded gas in Kentucky today is $1.57. A month ago, it was $1.91. According to KentuckyGasPrices.com, the lowest cost in Moorhead today is $1.62. It's $1.68 in Grayson, $1.69 in Flemingsburg, and $1.56 in Ashland. The lowest price in Kentucky today is in Louisville. It's $1.37 there.
An official for the Kentucky Coal Association says the final part of 2015 was terrible for the state's coal industry. A recent report from the Kentucky Energy and Environment Cabinet noted that production fell to 61 tons last year, its lowest level since 1954. According to Association spokesman Bill Bissett, production was fairly steady through the first three quarters of 2015, but it was unexpectedly much worse in the final quarter. Bissett believes there are several reasons why.
You had the unseasonably warm winter that most of us remember there in November and December. You had some flooding that affected coal routes and getting coal to the southeastern United States. And you also had very, very large stockpiles because that demand was down. So because of all that, our market was worse than we expected, which of course impacts production and employment.
Bissett expects the situation to only get worse since new EPA regulations prevent the building of new coal-fired power plants and will likely cause the closure of several others still in operation.
Federal Communications Chairman Tom Wheeler is traveling in eastern Kentucky today with Congressman Hal Rogers to talk about economic opportunities that could come to the region with broadband expansion. Wheeler and Rogers are scheduled to hold meetings with local officials and others in Jackson and Perry counties to talk about what fiber optic cable could mean to the area. Ashland City Manager Benjamin Bitter doesn't need any convincing. He's a graduate of Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah. Bitter says once the infrastructure for broadband was laid in Provo, information technology businesses soon followed.
You look at the surrounding area there around Provo, you've got Adobe, you've got Flash Technologies, and really dozens and dozens of tech startups. It's really becoming a mini Silicon Valley. And what we hope to do is do something similar here in eastern Kentucky.
Bitter says there's no reason why that can't happen in the Appalachian region.
Fleming County Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy is keeping a watchful eye on budget negotiations between Kentucky's House and Senate. He is hoping they'll be able to help new Governor Matt Bevin keep his promise of putting money into the spending plan to help recruit and create more jobs for the Commonwealth.
I think that's one of his main goals, is to make sure that we keep as many jobs as we can here, and then also be able to attract people from the outside. I think he's already had some talks with out-of-state companies, which is always good. And he's, you know, right off the bat, he's one, economic development is one of his priorities, so that's good to know.
Foxworthy, meanwhile, says Bevin's plan to find money to help improve the state's roads and bridges should help boost efforts to convince more companies to locate in the Commonwealth.
The director of the Earth and Space Science Program at Moorhead State University says the school is well positioned to be a major player in training Kentucky's workforce of the future. Dr. Ben Malfras says aerospace has become the Commonwealth's top business, and MSU's Space Science Center and the academic program structured around it put Moorhead in the forefront for job training and economic development.
Aerospace, which is aircraft plus spacecraft, is, believe it or not, the number one economic driver in the state of Kentucky. I mean, when you think of Kentucky, you don't necessarily think of it as being an aerospace state. You think of Colorado or California. Kentucky is an aerospace state. It is the biggest export in the entire state. It's bigger than automotive. It's bigger than bourbon. It's bigger than thoroughbreds. So it's a huge economic driver.
Malfras says the aerospace industry will continue to thrive in Kentucky as long as it has a trained workforce, and MSU is working to make sure that it does.
Waste products leaving the Bluegrass Army Depot in Madison County could be reclassified under legislation endorsed by the Senate Natural Resources and Energy Committee. Craig Williams is with the Chemical Weapons Project of the Kentucky Environmental Foundation. He says current law does not allow for that, even if the waste has been treated, and its threat to public safety has been substantially diminished. Williams told the Senate panel last week permitting reclassification could prevent overreaction to a truck accident involving the transport of such materials off the former chemical weapons site.
So if you can imagine for a moment, emergency responders to that particular incident under the current waste codes would be thinking that's chemical warfare agent, nerve gas, that just flipped over in a ditch in Tennessee or in Indiana or wherever it might be. Their response to that would require evacuation of the area, very protective gear to respond to the cleanup.
Williams says changing the law would enable more appropriate labeling of the threat assessment posed by wastes leaving the Bluegrass Army Depot.
An amendment to Kentucky's regulations on cell towers would make it clear that the State Public Service Commission has jurisdiction over cell tower equipment that has been placed on state property. That's if legislation proposed by Republican State Senator Ernie Harris becomes law. The measure is backed by the firm MML and K Government Solutions. Chris Nolan is a representative of the company that lobbies the state legislature.
The state PSC currently has an entire framework already in place, has been doing this across the state for areas that do not have planning and zoning in their local communities. So it is something that the commission has looked at and are fine with this change in the legislation.
The bill last week cleared a Senate committee and has been recommended for approval by the full body.
Next month's Republican presidential caucus in Kentucky introduces an interesting dynamic in GOP politics into the Commonwealth. That's the opinion of University of Pikeville political science professor Nancy Cade. The reason, she says, is because it's not a secret ballot. Participants have to openly express their preference for a particular candidate. Cade appeared Sunday on KET's One to One with Bill Goodman.
The one thing that I like about the caucus, maybe it's because I'm a political scientist and I like this, you have to publicly commit to your party. You have to publicly commit to your candidate. And that takes a whole different level than just going into the voting booth and voting, you know, you say you're going to vote for somebody, but you vote for someone else.
The Republican Presidential Caucus takes place Saturday, March 5th from 10 to 4 at local sites throughout Kentucky. Rowan County's Republican Caucus will be at the Moorhead Conference Center. Candidates who filed for the caucus include Jeb Bush, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, John Kasich, Chris Christie, Carly Fiorina, Rick Santorum, and Mike Huckabee. However, Paul, Santorum, and Huckabee have withdrawn from the race.
Now that the Highlands Museum and Discovery Center owns the Ashland building that houses it, it may be possible to develop the top floor of the structure as a community room. That's according to director Carol Allen. She says that's in the facility's long-term plans.
We have a fourth floor that is extremely clean. It is empty, and it has lighting. It needs a minimal amount of work to it so that we could use that for our major events and also allow the city and other people who have that size of events that we really don't have a space for it now, they could use that.
Allen says the fourth floor of the building crosses over to a parking garage, and that makes it ideal for holding community events.
And finally this afternoon, the National Weather Service in Jackson says snow and cold air is on the way. Areas throughout eastern Kentucky could see around 3 inches of snow, causing some commuter issues for Tuesday and Wednesday. On top of that, Pete Jajarian with the NWS says there will be some bitter cold as well.
Snow's going to be dry, shouldn't stick to power lines or anything. That won't be an issue. But it is going to be turning much colder. We got temperatures falling into the low 20s by Tuesday morning and only going to get into the mid to upper 20s Tuesday during the afternoon. And lows will be down in the teens Wednesday morning.
Jajarian adds we could see wind chills near 10 degrees from this system.
Mm-hmm. Turning now to an extended look at that weather forecast, there is a winter weather advisory in effect in the MSPR listening region until 6 p.m. tomorrow. Tonight, a 90% chance of snow showers, with rain showers also likely this evening, snow accumulation around 1 inch, and lows tonight around 25 degrees. For tomorrow, it'll be cloudy, a 70% chance of snow showers, total snow accumulation around 2 inches, highs in the upper 20s. Tomorrow night, cloudy, a 50% chance of snow again, lows in the upper teens. On Wednesday, it'll be cloudy with a 40% chance of snow showers, highs around 22. That night, cold, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of snow with lows around 10 above zero. And on Thursday, it'll be partly sunny, expect highs around 25 degrees. It's currently sitting at 41 degrees in Ashland. It's 35 right now in Flemingsburg, 37 in Inez, 41 in Lexington, 37 in Winchester, and 36 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have your company on this Monday afternoon. As another wave of winter weather heads toward the Commonwealth, Kentucky Utilities says it is offering a heating assistance program. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has that story.
The Winter Care Energy Fund is neighbors helping neighbors at its finest. It's a third-party nonprofit program designed to help KU's customers in need pay their heating bills. The program works by other KU customers donating money while paying their bills. Cliff Felton is a spokesman for the energy company, and he says KU will match those donated dollars.
We're just looking to help and assist customers who may have that difficulty in paying those energy bills during the winter months.
Donating money to the program is very simple and is being encouraged as those in the KU service area are about to deal again with below freezing temperatures this week.
Customers who contribute money to that fund can do it any one of a number of ways. They can just make a straight donation to the fund, or they can round up their bills. Even that little amount will go into that fund.
To help lower the cost of heating bills, Felton has some key advice for customers looking to save a few extra bucks. The first step is to keep the thermostats at its lowest comfortable setting.
Dress for the season, and if that means putting on a sweatshirt or sweatpants or sweaters or whatever while you're inside, that would help.
Another tip is to have your furnace checked out before each winter.
Also, if you have not thought about changing the filters or cleaning the filters on that furnace, you need to do that too, because a dirty filter means that the furnace is having to work extra hard and extra long to pass air through those filters.
The winter Care Energy Fund is Kentucky's utilities effort to help customers in crisis pay for their heating needs. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jordan Simonson.
It is 4:48. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock and Mike has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Innovation Network at MSU. The Innovation Network supports and promotes entrepreneurship by providing business consulting to entrepreneurs, small businesses, innovative nonprofits, and inventors. The network also works in Eastern Kentucky schools to teach entrepreneurship and promote the high-tech industries of the future, such as drones and space science. To learn how the Innovation Network helps the entrepreneurs of today while encouraging the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, the phone number is 606-783-9535. 36.
Broncos celebrating in the Mile High City. Good afternoon, I'm MSPR's Michael Gustin with the sports report. The Denver Broncos are continuing to celebrate its 24-10 Super Bowl 50 victory over the Carolina Panthers. Denver's defense led the way, forcing four turnovers, highlighting the Mile High City club with Super Bowl MVP Von Miller's 2.5 sack performance with the forced fumble that led to a touchdown. Miller says his team went into the game with the same focus they have had all season.
We've just been the same group of guys that we've been all year long. We haven't really paid attention to the underdog talk and this talk and that talk. We know what type of team we are.
The Broncos defense was able to sack Panthers quarterback Cam Newton a total of 6 times. A day after logging his second Super Bowl championship, quarterback Peyton Manning is just worried about celebrating Denver's third Lombardi trophy in history.
Manning spoke with NBC's Today Show this morning and says he is using some advice from his former coach Tony Dungy on the thoughts of retirement.
He said, "I'm still your coach." He said, "Do not make an emotional decision right after the game."
Manning and his team will be presenting the trophy to the city of Denver tomorrow in a championship parade. Denver's victory over Carolina in the Super Bowl reached an average of 111.9 million viewers, a number down from the last 2 years. Still, it represents the third most watched television event in U.S. history. The Super Bowl had set viewership records for 6 of the past 7 years. The Cincinnati Bengals have made some roster moves, signing quarterback Chucky Brown and offensive lineman Darryl Baldwin. Brown has played in 54 total games with the Giants and the Ravens, which he helped Baltimore to a Super Bowl title in 2012. Baldwin, a former Ohio State Buckeye, signed with the Ravens last season as a college free agent and was cut after the preseason. The Philadelphia Eagles have parted ways with wide receiver Riley Cooper after playing 6 seasons in the city of brotherly love. The 28-year-old had 18 touchdown receptions and 88 total games with the Eagles. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenyer is reloading his staff. Tenyer needs to replace defensive coordinator Dante Wright, who recently left to take a job at Tennessee Tech. He also has to fill another couple of vacancies.
I'm going to hire internally for the position, and then we're probably going to go outside to hire a defensive line coach, and we've already started the interview process for that. So, like where we're at, you know, like the makeup of our staff, obviously, still, and you know, I'm really excited about obviously getting going on the 16th season.
Tenyer hopes to fill his staff vacancies in this week or next. The AP Top 25 men's basketball poll is out with a new number one in Villanova. Nova makes the jump after losses by Oklahoma and North Carolina this past week. Following them is Maryland, Oklahoma, Iowa, and Xavier rounding off the top five. Despite going 1-1 last week, UK stays in the top 25, dropping to number 22. The Louisville basketball team has a big Monday contest. The 19th-ranked Cardinals play an ACC game at 7 at Duke. With the school recently announcing a self-imposed postseason ban for violating NCAA rules, Coach Rick Pitino says the focus for his team has become winning a conference title, although he's not sure it'd be officially recognized.
At Kentucky, we did it my second year, and they didn't acknowledge it. So hopefully they would. So we'll give it our best shot. Not going to be easy playing at Duke, at Virginia, at Notre Dame, and at Pittsburgh, but we're going to give it our best shot.
Duke recently dropped out of the AP's top 25 for the first time in 8 seasons. With 6 games to go before the OVC season ends, Morehead State coach Sean Woods is trying to rally his team for a strong run down the stretch. The Eagles are getting ready to host Eastern Kentucky Thursday night after a disastrous weekend trip to Nashville that saw them suffer narrow losses to Belmont and Tennessee State. Woods was particularly unhappy with their effort in the 77-76 Saturday defeat at TSU.
I didn't think our guys were ready to play. A couple guys were ready to play from the start. And, you know, we dug ourselves a hole and we showed some resiliency and some toughness bringing it back. But we let one get away, and that's unacceptable to me.
The defeats knocked MSU back to 12-11 overall and to 6-5 in the OVC. The season continues to be a learning experience for the Morehead State women's basketball team. That's according to Coach Greg Todd, who says his 9-16 Eagles were taught another lesson about themselves during a 78-76 loss at Tennessee State Saturday.
You know, I think our girls get a little too emotional when things go a little south. We're trying to work on that. We're getting better. Pretty young team, but I do like some things. Definitely some things I'm seeing.
The MSU women are back at Johnson Arena this coming Saturday to entertain Belmont. The Round County boys basketball team will try to add to its 13-9 record tonight when it plays at Menifee County. Coach Sean Thacker likes the 1-2 scoring punch of Larry Whalen and Michael Androbis, but hopes his other starters, Jake Eldridge, Chris Roberts, and Connor Thomas, will begin providing his team with more offense.
If we could get those three up with their scoring, it would really improve our chances greatly. And because, you know, teams now are not going to, you know, they're not going to let Larry and Michael just beat them without some kind of a defensive scheme or game plan or an effort to take them away.
Rounds Lady Vikes have a big one tonight. They play the 16th region top team, East Carter and Grayson. And finally in sports today, right-hander Craig Stammen has agreed to a minor league contract with the Cleveland Indians and will report to big league spring training. The 31-year-old was 26-24 with a 3.91 ERA and 38 starts and 191 relief appearances for the Washington Nationals during the past seven seasons. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Men's basketball will begin their final home game schedule by hosting Eastern Kentucky at 7 p.m. on Thursday, February 11th. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed off their session lows amid a late rally in the energy sector, and the Dow Industrials, after being down almost 400 points, finished with a loss of 177.92 at 16,027.05. The S&P 500 was down 26.61 at 1853.44, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 79.39 at 4283.75. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 4-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. As mentioned, the energy sector was a very big bright spot this afternoon as Chevron closed up with a gain of just over 3%, and Exxon was also up about 1.4%. Goldman Sachs and Home Depot were your weakest performers among the Dow Jones Industrial stocks. The S&P Biotech ETF was down 5.5% as medical stocks weighed on the NASDAQ Composite, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 3% at one point and, of course, finished down about 1.8%. Apple bucked the trend as it came in with a gain today of about 1%. Crude oil prices resumed their downward trajectory, with WTI closing 3.88% lower, or $1.20 a barrel at $29.69 a barrel, but it did rise above $30 a barrel in after-hours trading. Gold futures for April delivery surged almost 3.5% to finish at $1,198 an ounce and broke above $1,200 for the first time since June. Overseas Chinese markets are closed this week due to the Lunar New Year holiday. Overseas European equities also closed lower, with the pan-European Stock 600 index dropping about 3.5%. The German DAX also dipped below the 9,000 mark for the first time since October 2004. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down $1.09 at $91.90, AK Steel down 5 cents at $2.22, AEP up 21 cents at $62.49, Marathon Petroleum down $1.56 at $30.74, CSX up 18 cents at $23.01, and Kroger was down 81 cents to finish at $36.83. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry created by artisans from across America and natural pieces found all over the world. Eat Gallery offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, pocket knives, rings, and necklaces. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, there's a winter weather advisory in effect until 6 p.m. tomorrow. Tonight, a 90% chance of snow showers with rain showers likely, snow accumulation around 1 inch and lows around 25 degrees. Tomorrow, a 70% chance of snow, total snow accumulation around 2 inches with highs in the upper 20s. It's currently sitting at 36 degrees here in Morehead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Jordan Simonson, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, Sean Delaney, and Elizabeth Hernandez. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.